welcome to the Hutt City Baptist podcast. For more information, visit us at huttbaptist.org.nz.
My last service, and they get me to preach. Feels like God's timing. Morning, everybody. It's an honor and privilege to be able to bring some teaching on the Word of God with a wobbly lectern. But so good. Can we have the first slide up? Which is, pardon? Working on it. Oh, here we go. Oh, it's just, no, we won't worry about it if it's crashing. Lord Jesus, I repent. So, I've had the honor of opening up the series, which is the Gospel of Matthew. And when Rob asked me, he said, what would you like to do? And he offered me Matthew 1 to Matthew 2. And I was thinking, oh, what's that? It's the genealogy of Jesus. I'll take it, bro. I'll take it, because God's been taking me on a little journey of genealogy, and well, in Māori we call it whakapapa, or our pepeha, or our inheritance. So it's not going to work, so I don't know what I've got to do from here. Okay. Firstly, I just want to welcome Gareth and Kara to our church whānau. We had the pōwhiri last week, and I missed it. I was up in Tauranga, but welcome. What an awesome journey. We're kind of going out the back door and you're coming in the front door. But we might be back, but bless you guys and your whānau. Hope you feel welcome here. So the Gospel of Matthew. So I had a lot of fun actually going through the study of this, because I've been at Bible college, I've been at Kerry, and they're teaching us how to do like an exegesis, or to exegete a piece of text. And when I first heard that word exegesis, I was like, is that about Jesus? Or an exegesis? But it's an exegesis. So for those that don't know, they kind of look at the text, and they look at the original text, and they look at the Hebrew and the Greek. And I had, honestly, a lot of fun. Rach was hearing me from the other room, and I'm kind of like, whoa, this is so amazing. I'm mainly going to focus on Matthew 1 and part of Matthew 2, chapter 1 and chapter 2. Up to verse 12. So what we know about the book of Matthew is that Matthew is actually one of the apostles or the disciples of Jesus. Some theologians think differently, but most theologians think this is the one that walked with Jesus. So he is one of his disciples, became an apostle. He is referenced in the other Gospels, Mark and Luke. But he's known as Levi. So they kind of always change their names, eh? They like become Saul and then become Paul. So there's a lot of name changing that happens, which is quite interesting. He writes all of the text that's actually in Greek. So that's quite interesting, because I thought it would have been all written in Hebrew, but it's actually all in Greek. But it's his audience for the whole Gospel of Matthew, is his audience is to the Jewish people that are living out beyond Jerusalem. And so although he is quite evidently preaching to the Jewish people, he's got a universal outlook on it. So he's aware now that the Gentiles have come in, and so he's aware of that. So his language within this, the whole Gospel of Matthew is got an outlook like that. The reason why they kind of pick up that it's directed towards Jewish people is because he doesn't really talk like... I remember the first time I was at Easter camp, and Andrew Whitehead asked me to become the MC for Easter camp, and so I was like, what's that? You know, like, how do I do that? And I had to do a bit of practice, and it used to be Hutapolda with Dawn and Mirror, and then it shifted to Manfield, which was like, went from hundreds to thousand, and I was kind of like heart beating. And I remember I got on the stage and I was like, kia ora Easter camp, how you going, give me a yee yee, you know, and everyone's like, yee yee, and it was like this thing came out of me that I didn't actually practice. It just came out of me. because it was kind of like part of my Māori culture and my bro culture, I suppose, was coming out of me on the stage. I remember I went back to the campsite and a whole lot of my young guys, oh, there it is there. Nice. And I remember all my young guys that I've been mentoring, like Andrew Wiley was one of them, Lucas Gammy, Campbell Hart, you know, all these young guys that we're looking after. And they kind of, I came back to the tent and they said, they're like, bro, what was that? I was like, what do you mean? They're like, man, you're like super bro. And I'm like, really? They're like, you're not usually like that. You know, you kind of tame it down a bit. But on stage, you just let loose. And I found that so, and I was kind of hurt. I was like, what? No, that's me. I'm pretty sure that's me. So referring it back to the Gospel of Matthew, in his writing, he is just being a Jewish person. So there's some, like all throughout the scripture, so that's kind of, so it's not this Gospel of Matthew. It's probably more looks like this one. So let's kind of flick through some of the arrival in history of Jesus the Messiah. So this is a quick overview. So the first four books make up the Gospel of Jesus Christ, which is all about the good, gospel means good news about Jesus Christ. The first book of the New Testament, so it's almost like the Old Testament was the old canon, the New Testament is this newfound scripture and teaching that comes out, and it's all about Jesus. It was written in Greek. And many elements of this gospel direct to a Jewish audience. Matthew's main purpose is to prove to his Jewish readers that Jesus is their Messiah. So there's a lot of referring back to the old. Out of all of the Gospels, he refers back to the Old Testament the most out of all of them. So what he's trying to do is he's trying to pull on old prophecies that have been said about Jesus so that the Jewish people are going, oh man, maybe this guy really is the Messiah. And there's some of the scriptures down there. And so there's a lack of explanation in Jewish customs and terminology. So for example, kingdom of heaven. So they would never say the name of God. They wouldn't say it's too holy. You know, Yahweh is like, I am that I am. That's it. Don't say my name. It was just too holy and it was too sacred. So instead of saying kingdom of God, he said kingdom of heaven. So everybody's kind of referring back to God. Okay. So most of you have seen this photo before. Most of you know my whānau. But for those that don't, for example, Gareth and Kara, this is my whānau. So there's my dad, Kelly, and my mum, Hansa, that are sitting down. And then I'm the oldest of all the children, so I'm standing at the back with my wife, Rachel. And then there's my next older sister, Janine, who is a teacher at Nainai College. And then there's my brother, Mike, who is the manager down at Viridian Glass, and that's his wife, Jessie. And that's their two kids, which is my nephew and niece. So my nephew's name is Kelly, and he's my dad's namesake. And then there's Esme, and then there's my younger sister, Danielle, which is on the far left, and she's studying at Toi Hokura, which is a Māori art school in Gisborne. But I want to focus on my father. So I'm going to go through my paternal line, my dad's line, and I'm going to connect it back to the Gospel of Matthew because it's all about genealogy, right? So my dad was born and raised in a place called Waikaremoana. So hands up, has anybody ever heard of it? Okay. Oh, heaps of people have heard of it. Who's ever done the walk? Like, who's ever tramped? Man, there's heaps of you. I did not expect that. Okay, awesome. So that's our awa, we would say Waikaremoana. So when we say our pepeha, we would say Waikaremoana, te awa, panekere, te maunga, I would say te kuha, te marae, ruopaniki, tūhoi, toku iwi, all these things. We ended up having a reunion there, family reunion, back in 2014. And so this is my grandfather and my grandmothers and all their children and all their children. So it's all my cousins and aunties and uncles. And we had an amazing time. Like, the Spirit of God was there. I was a little bit scared because, to be honest, I heard a whole lot of stories about tūhoi and kind of a little bit freaky. You know, Tamaiti is around there somewhere, and all I see on him is this kind of scary stuff on the telly. And when we're growing up, hearing all these stories about the uruweras and the children of the mist and tanifas, and I'm like, you know, like... But being there and being with our family, it was like the Spirit of God really was there and touched us at that point. We had an amazing time with our whānau, and the corridor went deep. So it was one of those ones where you're like talking to, like, with, you know, your auntie or your nanny or something till like 3 in the morning, and just talking about cool stuff like history, whakapapa, stories. That's where your grandfather met your nana walking on the side of the road. You know, he was in his car and he kind of pulled up and was like, you know, and I'm like, whoa, this is so cool. And to see the places where it happened, and this is where we used to go eeling, and this is where I used to go hunting, my koro, you know, he like would come to life. And it got so deep that at some point, my dad decided he wanted to get baptized in Waikare Moana. So this is photos from the baptism. There's me looking like a preacher man. There's my grandfather, so that's my dad's father, that's my koro lucky. And that's his sister, which is my nanny lovely, or my great aunt, but we call her nanny. And there's a photo of all our loved ones who have passed on, and we all gathering there at the side of the at the lake. And it was such a special time for us. And this is my dad getting in the water. There we go. No, just kidding. That's us just doing some bombs in the Waikare Moana. Dad and his two sons. No, but in all seriousness, this is actually where it happened here. And so my dad got baptized. Rach and I had the honor of being able to bless him and to bless God. And everybody on the shore was all cheering and they were like crying. And there was like a whole lot of a mixture of emotions. And for me, it was one of the most special moments to be able to be with my father. As he was baptized Catholic at Hatapora, I think, maybe. But this is like his full immersion. Because my dad went to Hatapora, Maryland. I don't know if you know that. Maybe you did. Yeah, so interesting fact with genealogy here. I remember when I first went to Easter Camp in 2005, some of you have heard that story, and I saw the pictures of my dad on the wall at Hatapoura at the Easter Camp, and that was one of the reasons why I was like, maybe God's in this. Some more photos of my dad getting baptized. It was such a surreal moment for us. A lot of love flowing. My brother and some of my cousins were prompted by the Lord to do a haka to show their love for my father, for my dad. And not long after that, then my dad got to baptize his siblings. So it's my Auntie Jackie up the top left and my Auntie Mary on the top. And it was just such an incredible time, like amazing, deep. You know, when you start talking about family and history and whakapapa, it's something in it, all these stories that are in it. So anyway, at this reunion, my nanny Lovey, who was my koro sister, she said, you know what, Matt? You know how your last name, Renata, isn't even Māori, it's Spanish? And I'm like, yes, I've heard this before. Can you like fill in some of the pieces for me? She goes, well, actually, my father, which is my great-grandfather, he found out when he was 45 years old, when his mother was sick, she was on her deathbed, and she said, son, come here. So he came close to her, and she said, I'm just letting you know, you're not actually my biological son. And he was like, because all he's ever known is tūhoe, is the uruweras, that's where they went hunting, and that's all he knew his whole life. He says, you're actually whāngai, or it's this form of adoption, but without the papers. But it's in Māori terms, it's a formal thing. And says, you're actually whāngai from the East Coast, which is where we start to hear about this East Coast story. And she passed away, and he was left with this fact that he was adopted, or, you know, he was whāngai. And so he went up the East Coast and started door knocking, and he landed in a place called Tokomaru Bay, or Waima specifically. Knocked on the door of this house, said, my name's Wini Tana Renata, wondering if you've heard if my family's around here. We know who you are. Go and knock on the door of that house. So my nanny Lovey, she was a young girl, she was probably about 7 years old. She said they went and knocked on the door of this house, and this old man came out and says, ko ai koe, what's your name? He goes, oh, my name is Wini Tana Renata. And he goes, well, your name isn't Wini Tana Renata, it's Wini Tana Renata Huihui, and you're my son. And so they had this tangi, they had a cry, and they hugged each other. And my nanny Lovey says she was a little girl, and she was watching this whole thing happen. And then they started to hear all of these laughs that sounded like her dad's laugh. And then she walked down the side of the house, and it was all of her siblings, biological siblings. So there was like a reconciliation, like a reunion. They got together. And so we've got this weird story of our East Coast story, but we don't know much about it. So his father's name was Renata Huihui, and he named his son Wini Tana Renata Huihui. and we heard about this place in the East Coast called Tikapo and a whole lot of things. So that's kind of where that story ends. So fast forwarding, this summer we went up to the Hokianga to go and meet Rachel's family. So this is the first time I've met them. They had their family reunion and this is their family. What the heck? And that's about a quarter of them. Seriously, you know these Māori families, they're having like 12 children, 20 children, I'm not even kidding you. We met one guy, he's like, I've got 23 siblings. What on earth, though? This is a big whānau. But you know this way this genealogy works and stuff like that? You know, I get a text from Eddie Forster and he's like, oh, you know, we've got some good Wikaira friends up there and can you go and meet them and stuff like that? So we didn't get to meet them, but we heard about them and there's all this connectedness going on. And then Rachel and I actually left. So this is actually Rachel's mum's side of the whānau. So this is Tracy's side, and same thing, learning all these stories, deep stories, stories that go back to a creator named Eeyore, and these prayers that Kupe used when he first came to Aotearoa in the first place. Amazing stuff, if you know what I'm kind of talking about. And then we left there, and we went to a hui in the Waikato, and in the Waikato there is, we're there at a Christian conference, and I wake up. It's a Venn conference, sorry, and I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and all I've got ringing in my head, I'm in a dreamlike state, and all I've got ringing in my head is tikapa, tikapa, tikapa. Never seen it, never been there before, don't even really know where it is, and I can't get to sleep, and I'm like, God, are you talking to me? And he goes, I want you to look up tikapa. So I looked up tikapa, I asked Uncle Google, where's tikapa? Uncle Google told me it's about 6.5 hours away, and I'm going, man, is this, why is this place ringing out to me? So anyway, I tell Rachel the next day, I says, look, I don't know if we're meant to leave the conference early. So this was, would have been about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, but I think we're meant to go to Tikapa. She goes, Matt, we can't, we've got to finish the conference, you know? I'm like, yeah, but she goes, well, can we afford it? You know, like this is the East Coast, this is like East Cape, East Coast. You know, and we, you know, beautiful Shannon let us borrow her car. We've got to get her car back to her. So we're kind of trying to sort this all out. Anyway, we pray about it. Eventually God says, I want you to get a tikapa. So I call my Uncle John Manuel, who's out there, and said, look, can we come out there? And he goes, you can come stay at my house. So we ended up there. And we're at his house, which is like East Cape, East Coast, the first place in the world to see the sun. And he points across the river, which is that Waiapu River that I showed you, and he goes, see that building over there? I have a feeling that might be your family marae. Okay then, so he puts us in the car, he drives us around there, takes about 40 minutes to get there, drive past a particular marae, and he goes, see that marae there? That's Apira Nanata's marae. What? For those that don't know Apira Nanata, he's kind of like a Māori hero. He's really good in the Māori world, really amazing in the Pākehā world. Christian, loved the Treaty of Waitangi, one of the first Māori politicians. And he's right around the corner from this marae that they think might be ours. And then we drive up to the next marae, and he goes, that's Pōkai marae, I'm pretty sure that's your marae. And I go, why is there a big marquee outside the marae? He goes, I have no idea. And this old kaumātua comes out, he's in the front of the marae, kind of looks at us, staring at us like, a bit suspicious. Oi, kia ora, haramai, haramai. And then he's like, come, and I'm like, uh-oh. All of a sudden, I'm getting the shakes, kind of walk up. He's full on talking in te reo Māori. I can't understand him because I'm not fluent in the language. And my Uncle John is, and Rachel's with me. And he's like, ko ai koe, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. He goes, oh, so you're Matt Renata. So who's Renata hui hui to you? And I was like, that's my great-great-grandfather. Because, oh, is he? He used to live across the road just over there in that homestead. That's where he was born. And his father's name is Riwai Hui Hui, and his dad's name's Timothy Cohen. He's like, da-da-da-da-da-da. Back to Pikea. I'm going, what on earth? I'm looking at Rach like, we're meant to be here. He goes, I thought you had come from the Wānanga, you know, for the meeting. I said, what Wānanga? He goes, oh, it's the Whakapapa Wānanga. It's the first one we've ever had, and we're just going to be talking about genealogy. I literally nearly started crying. And he goes, the porphyry's starting in 2 hours. Aren't you coming to it? And I was like, I had no idea it was on. I just had a dream. And he's looking at me going, what? Oh, okay then. So I come back for the porphyry. For the first time ever, I end up getting what it calls whakatau, or what happened to you guys last week, where you get porphyry. Now you're one of us. You're part of the family. That's what happened for me there. And I spent a whole 10 days there. And Rachel had to leave me there because she had Scripture Union camp, which she couldn't get out of, so she just left me there by myself. And I loved it, and I just ate it all up. So this is the photo of that kaumātua. And this is, I don't know why Rach took a photo, but she did. She grabbed my phone out of my pocket and was like, tick, 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 tick. And that's the kaumātua there, and he's going, see over there? That's where they used to live. So we went back 12 generations, and 8 generations of my forefathers, my paternal line, all born and raised in Tikapa. And so I was able to go there for the first time. And so this is us. I've met a whole lot of my whānau up the top left that I've never known before. We come from the same line. I tell you what, those girls, man, they were just like, this guy's like Ma'a Nonu. Seriously, they're all Māoris that have grown up, born and raised in Australia. So they come over here and they're just like in love with things Māori, you know. And down the bottom, they were teaching us waiata and songs that all has genealogy in it. And up the top, that was where like they embraced me. But yeah, so that's some of the photos. So when you look at Matthew 1, don't just see a bunch of names. When you read Deuteronomy and all those ones that are supposed to be boring, that's actually got all these names have stories behind them. Like every single name has a story like. And then you've got to ask yourself the question, in this genealogy, why does it start with Abraham? So I'm going to take you on another bit of a story. What happens with Abraham? Why does that genealogy start there? Because it's almost like they're getting ready to tell the story of Jesus. Because Abraham also had to be in a position where he had to sacrifice his son Isaac. So it's almost like this is why I'm tying it back. When Matthew's writing this thing, he's thinking about it. He's thinking genealogy. He's thinking whakapapa. He's thinking stories. When these readers read it, they're going to connect it back to Abraham. And they're going to know who he is. And so there's also another interesting fact. Rob and I caught up during the week and we're talking about why a woman there in the genealogy. Because if you know Hebrews, they'd never put the woman in there. But this time, the first chapter of the first gospel in the New Testament has woman in there. And not just any woman, these women have stories behind them. So is it Tamar, or Māoris would probably say Tamar, you know? She is actually part of a kind of a weird story of incest, you know? And so when we see that name in there, the Jewish readers are going, what is she doing in there? How dare, you know, she get put in there? Or what about Rahab? Well, who was Rahab? She was a prostitute. We're talking about the whakapapa of Jesus here. What is she doing in there? And I want to cut it down because you know how I kind of... And then there's Ruth. And who's Ruth? Is she a Hebrew? She's a Moabite. So all of a sudden, it's like, what do they call them in a mixed blood? You know, it's like she's got no Hebrew blood in her, and this is in the genealogy of Jesus. And then, just to finish it off, he's like, I'm just going to chuck Bathsheba in there, you know. And just to rein it in, he's like, who had been Uriah's wife? The one that David, King David, man after God's own heart, got killed. This is in the whakapapa of Jesus. It's amazing. The other thing is I want you to take note of these names as well, because it also connects to the scripture as well. These are the kings of Judah. And then we get all the way down to Jesus, who was called the Messiah. So these, or you got to think when we're reading these things, this is like the entrance of the Messiah into the world, you know. So we go to Matthew 1:18-25, the miraculous birth of Jesus. It starts to say about how Mary was... interesting fact, Mary's real name isn't Mary, it's Miriam. So when they translate it from the Greek, the Hebrew to the Greek, it's actually Miriam. So when you go back to the original text and you see Mary Magdalene, It's actually Miriam of Magdala, but because of the Greek to English, you know, and all the changing of names, really interesting. That's with the parts where I was like, whoa, pleads to Joseph. The Holy Spirit, you know, comes on her and she ends up getting pregnant, and then she gives birth to a son. But this thing about the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel in verse 22. So I just want to kind of pick up on this. When they read this, they all of a sudden associate it to Isaiah. And Isaiah was one of the most loved prophets. They loved Isaiah. And what happened was when they saw the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and they were calling him Emmanuel, they were automatically going back to Isaiah 7 because these guys just recited it. They were amazing at being able to remember scripture and being taught. And then the other thing is that in that same scripture are these names from that genealogy of Jesus that are in here. So the kings of Judah. And the reason why I put Hezekiah in there, even though he's not in Isaiah, was Hezekiah was one of the kings that helped Judah when northern Israel got demolished pretty much and they got disbanded. There's this, so the Magi visit the Messiah. So all of a sudden you've got the birth of Jesus happening and now you've got a response to Jesus' birth. And automatically people like King Herod don't like him. And he kind of sends these, how do you say it, Magi? Magi. Let's go with Magi. Does anyone know Hebrew? No. It's called the Magi. So they're also following this Old Testament reference, which is in Micah 5. And it says, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, or among the clans of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler over Israel, who will shepherd my people, Israel. So instantly, kind of like, you know how like Maoris, they kind of just go, tick, 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 and they're making all the dots, and they're like, oh, you're my cousin. You know, it's like instantly when they're reading and thinking or hearing stories, they're connecting all the dots. So last week, Gareth, you connect the dots, you and your wife with Richard Willis and his son on the other side of the world. What on earth is that about? And then you make a connection to our friend Colin, you know, who was up in Dargaville, you know, in the Woodsworth, is it? You know, and there's like this connection. Then you guys are automatically making it, which is awesome. So you already got ties into our family already. You know. Oh, and then King Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them that the exact time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem, and said, pretty much go and search them out so eventually I can kill them, but he's doing it secretly. And then I'm actually going, oh, it's right at the end. So in verse 12 here it says, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. It's just a throwaway sentence. Everything else you hear before that, the verses in the chapters you hear before that, is all, it's like they're being set up to go and find Jesus so that King Herod can kill him. Then all of a sudden you've got this one sentence in there that is like, they have a dream, so they decided not to, and they went back home. It's like the supernatural God is working back in the New Testament 2,000 years ago, the same way he's talking to Matt Renner in 2019 to have a dream and to go and learn all of his whakapapa in this place called Te Kapa. It's the same God. And so we have to be aware of our own stories within this story. We have to know that story and accept it, but go, what does that actually mean for us? What does that mean for our story? What are the things that we inherit? Because sometimes we become so almost blind to who we are. And for those of you that were here when I did the Superman story, in my last one, it's like we all managed to figure out Superman's genealogy and his strengths and his weaknesses that came through his line. But what does that also mean for us and knowing our story and who we are? Do we still listen to the God of the Bible, the God of Israel, who was about speaking to us, telling us who we are, our strengths and our weaknesses? So anyway, yeah, I'm just going to bring it to an end there. And then next week you got Rob, who's going to take off from 2 Matthew. But the story continues to be written. Our stories continue to be written. And so I'm just going to bring it to an end there. But just before I bring it to an end, just to kind of respond to the prayer time that we had before, you guys are part of my genealogy. Oh, okay. I didn't expect that. I just want to thank you all. Flip. You're part of my spiritual family. There's been a whole lot of you up there. Far out. You've been praying for me. When I came to the Lord, I was a wreck. And now I'm up here, you know, being able to teach in the Word of God and the amazing revelations that He speaks through His written Word and His living Word. And there's so many, when I look out there, so many faces that I'm appreciative of. And is Rachel there? I'm going to come up here. Yeah, sorry I'm taking a lot of time, but this is the last time I'm going to have a chance to do this. But I want to thank you so much for everything you have given invested into our lives. I gave my heart to God in 2005 from Easter Camp, thanks to Dawn and Mur, who you guys also referenced last week, all part of our genealogy. And it's now 2019, and walking strong with the Lord. And I could not have done it with a lot of you, without you guys. You gave to me, you know, materially, financially. You invested prayers into us, and when we're getting married, you had advice for us. You gave us books to read. Ben and Jen, like, they ended up giving us a whole lot of things for our engagement that we read, and it was just like amazing. And I just want to say so much. Thank you so much. We love you all so much. And do you want to say anything? No? Oh, okay. Well, you can sit down now if you want. Well, unless you want to stay up here. Oh, okay. While I invite the worship team up. So we're actually going to, we're going to Bible College. We're going to Kerry. Kerry and Laidlaw College have joined forces for the first time. I've created a new teaching, which is Indigenous Theology. It's quite amazing. The actual name for it is called Ngā Pō Amorangi. It's a new track that they're pulling out. We're the guinea pigs for it. At the same time, we're doing theology papers. So, that's going to be interesting. Theologians are interesting, actually, when you talk to them. But at the same time, it's like looking at the Word of God through an Indigenous lens, more specifically a Māori and a Pacifica one. And they want to know, what does that mean for the body of Christ? What does that mean for the Church of Aotearoa? How do we remember our history and everything that's gone on? But what does that mean for us here in the present, 21st century? And what does it mean for the future, looking 100 years into the future? So they're going to start equipping us as young leaders, young emerging leaders within the church. We are really nervous. What else are you feeling? Unsure?
But we're excited.
We're really excited because we just know that God's in this. He's led us the whole way. We've prayed and we've fasted for these stories, and I mean, for the study. And so we really feel that God is going to teach us new things. And we always believe that Te Awa Kairangi is always going to be home. So our desire and our tono, or our call out to God, is that can you please keep us here in Te Awa Kairangi? We'd like to come back, and this is where we want to put our roots down, and that's where we want to minister, you know, and build God's kingdom here in Te Awa Kairangi as it is in heaven. But yes, anything else you want to share? So that's to kind of fill in those spaces. So yeah. Thank you, everybody. Love you all so much. As the worship team comes up, I want to pray. Kia ora. Right, Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much for genealogy. I want to thank you for identity, and I want to thank you for family. I want to thank you for our spiritual family. I want to thank you for our biological family. And I pray, Father God, that you continue to speak to people through this text, through your word, through your living word. And there's a lot of people out there that might not know what their genealogy is or who they are. Their strengths and their weaknesses that come through the inheritance, the intergenerational lines. Well, Father God, I want to pray for them. Just the same way that you did for me in such a supernatural way. I pray, Father God, that you can do that for a whole lot of people out there that are desperate to know who they are, not only in you, but who you created them to be. I pray over this church family. I pray over Hutt City Baptist Church that you protect the people that come under this covering. I pray for your wisdom and your guidance, supernatural wisdom and guidance and your direction for them. Continue to move them in a way that you already have been. Speak to them prophetically. Show them the way and keep them safe always. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.